How do you deal with becoming a widow? Our next guest is Miriam Neff. Her husband was the late Bob Neff of the Moody Broadcasting Network. Miriam has written a couple of books on this issue, including From One Widow to Another, Conversations on the New You, and Where Do I Go From Here? Bold Living After Unwanted Change. Miriam, welcome to the program.
It's so good to be with you, Jerry.
Sure, and go ahead and tell us your story. Your husband was ill for a long time, was he not?
He had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and it was a 3-year process for him. Mm. And thankfully, he was connected with your ministry, and you actually did an interview with him so that people could understand that the path different people take to heaven sometimes is very hard, not good, but heaven's the destination. So that's the wonderful part. But we were married for over 41 years. Wow. He was a broadcaster. I was a professional counselor. We raised our children. I thought at this stage I'd be traveling the world with him and he would still be doing radio and that kind of thing. And now for the last 8 years, I am solo. However, God has given me a task to do, and I'm really thankful for that.
And you've started something called Widow Connection. In fact, if anybody wants to get more information about your ministry, widowconnection.com. Tell us about that.
Well, when I became a widow, I realized my life had changed in so many ways that no one understood. But being a believer, I went to the Word of God, and it's like, oh, my word, God loves me incredibly in this unique spot. He wants to help me. He wants to comfort me. He wants the body of believers to come alongside of me. And frankly, Jerry, I couldn't find any ministry for widows in any organization.
Really?
And churches should have been the leader. So as you may know, when you realize there's a void, sometimes after you know that void and you understand it, you get a tap on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And it was as if God was saying, and I didn't hear this, but I clearly knew, I was in Burkina Faso, Africa that night when I knew I needed to start to address this to the extent that I could as long as I had breath. And let me tell you, Jerry, I have been doing that full out. The website is only one aspect of all the things that we do now. And churches are beginning to wake up to James 1:27 and say, hey, this is one group of people we need to help for a little while. It's not forever. Just help them get spiritually strong again on their feet, financially in charge of their life, and ready to do whatever God has for them.
You know, the Bible says that the older women should teach the younger women. It doesn't say the older women who are married must teach the younger women. So obviously widows are a part of that as well. But that seems to be an area neglected often today in the church.
It is. And one of the reasons that Widow Connection reaches out is no one can understand like someone else who's walked in your shoes, not walked in your shoes really,
right,
but had a similar loss. So, for instance, I have dear friends who've lost children when they were young.
Mm.
I can't relate to that. I can grieve with them. I can be sorrowful with them. But when another widow, when I reach out to her to hug her and I say, can I meet you for coffee or can we go for a walk? She's likely to say yes to me because she knows I have an understanding of what she's gone through. And for instance, for widows, our average age is 52.
Oh.
So if people think we're all these older people, think of the dangerous tasks, policemen, firefighters, most of the military people, and the terrible tragedy in Arkansas of these tornadoes.
In
one
times,
family,
yeah,
known in our Christian community, dad and two daughters died.
Wow.
So this is not an issue for simply a specific generation. We have widows in our groups that are 32 years old, some that are expecting their third baby when their husband, well, one was killed on a motorcycle. So I think I want to help people realize it's a bigger picture than we sometimes assume.
If somebody we know, let's say somebody at church, becomes suddenly widowed, are there some do's and don'ts in terms of how to approach that person? I mean, you feel so bad for them, and you want to be kind and nice, and obviously there may be some situations where you end up putting your foot in your mouth, but Why don't you give us some sensitive things to make sure we don't do that would be offensive to a widow?
Well, I have on my website 7 tips to help widows, and I have that in my book as well. And everyone should have this. Every church should have a stack of these cards there, which I will give them for free. But for one thing, the most important thing is continue to stay connected. And if you invite them to a small group and they say, no, not this month, or you say, well, come out to dinner with us. There are 4 of us couples going out. They might say no. Keep asking. Because they say no at the time,
yes,
doesn't mean you disconnect and try something different. They might not be ready to sit down with couples at this time, but they might want to later on. So stay connected in some way. And the other thing is, please say, I'm sorry for your loss. Don't say, oh, I understand, my grandfather died. No, if you say, I understand exactly what you're going through, you probably don't. I had a young married man say to me when my husband was dying, I understand exactly what you're going through. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding. You're going home to a wife who can lift her arms and hug you and who will be here in 2 years probably. I'm not. So it's like, be careful that you say something just to say something,
yes,
rather than something sensitive like, I'm thinking of you, or I'm sorry for your loss. Or if you offer to do something, follow through. Don't say, I'll have you over for dinner, and then don't do it, because we're already hurting.
Yeah.
So there are 7 of these, but those are a couple, and I can certainly suggest some other things. But do accept, this is an important one, let the grief process take its course, whatever length or short amount of time that is, because we're all so different. In 6 months it'll be over.
Okay, go ahead and share the rest of the ones, of the 7.
One of the things that I suggest is that you call and specifically ask, can we go for a walk together, or may I run errands for you, or do you want me to watch the children? Don't say, call me if you need me. She cannot pick up the phone. Her arm is too weak. So you need to call on a regular basis if you've been involved in her life in a way, and ask specific things, or what can I do for you today or this week? Because that is going to be more truly helpful to her than just something general.
Right.
Another thing, invite me to anything. And like I said before, the person might say no, but we are going to be incredibly, incredibly lonely. And
so
frankly, the wrong people can step into that void. We don't want that. So we want to make sure that we stay in touch, and we will find events that we can attend. And a church should have some of those that are just joyful.
Good. Any other principles?
Well,
of these main 7?
Yes, except that that person still has the personality they had before. In other words, if they were melancholy before, they may seem to be melancholy for a long time, but that's their personality type. Or if they tended to leap back up in strength and vigor after crisis in their past, that's what we do in the future. In other words, it's not like here's the grief process and it fits everyone identically.
Right.
So again, accept them for who they are and wherever they're going, and the amount of time it takes. Then the seventh thing is to try to assist in practical ways with whatever that widow needs. In other words, if she needs some house repairs that she's neglecting, it may be that even if she can afford them, she doesn't know where to start. Just call people. We have resource suggestions for churches so that they have a resource list for the widow. Or another thing is, people tend to financially prey on widows, and we need people that have our back, even relatives, and sometimes, unfortunately, people in the body of believers who think, okay, there's a source of some funds for me. So we need practical protection in that way. So, Jerry, you might say my whole book is full of suggestions, but there are some really practical ones.
Which one, by the way, of the 2 books do you recommend the most, of Where Do I Go From Here, or From One Widow to Another?
Well, if the person is a widow, certainly the widow-specific book, but Where Do I Go From Here is written for people of all kinds of losses. We were finding that people who were divorced, people that had incarcerated spouses were coming to our groups because many of the suggestions translate to other kinds of losses.
Sure.
And having a professional background as a counselor, I knew that I could address that in a book. So we talk about foreclosure, financial bankruptcy. We talk about divorce. We talk about ways to move forward given the loss that you've had, not like in spite of it, but actually gaining strength and wisdom and listening for how God can bring you to a new place in your life, a new ministry, a new job, a new social network. Because good things can happen in your future. You just might not see that at the time.
Okay, very good. And for the people who want that 7 tips for you to help widows to get more information, the book there to look at is From One Widow to Another, Conversations on the New You. Miriam Neff is our guest. Let me ask you a question. I hate to be so tough on this one, but your husband was in a lot of pain the last few years of his life. We're living in a time right now where, just recently, for example, in the Western Europe nation of Belgium, they have allowed for doctors to actually euthanize children if the doctors think that the children need that. There are suicide clinics in Switzerland where people can go in and have themselves done in. Now, wasn't Bob, your husband, in some pain? And I know that you both of you, did everything you could trying to, you know, abide by God's glory and live to God's glory through it all. So any comments about his suffering in that illness?
Well, Bob's suffering was different from the kind of pain you're talking about, because when nerves die, actually there's a lack of feeling.
Oh, okay.
There were certain kinds of pain that went with that, and he was unable to move any part of his body, which for a man that is definitely not a couch potato and can beat anyone on the racquetball court, he was not living the life he wanted.
Right.
However, Bob had a conviction, which I shared, and that is that God determines the first day that you breathe, and God determines the last day that you breathe. And searching Scripture, and I'm sure, Jerry, you've done this, there are multiple places that state that our days are in God's hands, our days are numbered. And because of his firm belief in that, he made choices personally that might be different from someone else's. And in some cases, there's medical technology that can extend life, and he had those options, and he declined them. And I'm not saying this is what other people should do. You asked me personally about
right.
Bob, so I'm telling you personally. Because breathing would become impossible, there are ways that you can breathe artificially and live for years and years. And he declined that. And I say that in no way giving recommendations to other people in their specific circumstances, because I do not know their circumstances.
Sure, sure.
But you asked me about Bob.
Yeah.
Boy, did I know that man.
Yeah, so, and by the way, there's a huge difference between what you're describing there, an end-of-life type of decision, versus the kind today where some people are literally talking about putting another human being to death, let's say, albeit with a doctor's help. That's murder, you know, as opposed to, you know, recognizing, okay, the body is not functioning anymore and it's going to die, but at least I'll eat food and drink water or whatever, I'll breathe and so forth, you know, until I can no longer. There's a big difference between putting somebody to death versus just allowing the death process to take over.
It is a difference for sure from what you are describing. And there have been those kinds of issues here in the United States. I'm sure you're familiar with the physician that assisted in the deaths of people and, you know, the court cases and all of that. So
Yes. This
is a discussion that will be in our society as long as there's pain and suffering. And, you know, but, you know, Jerry, you cover many, many important topics. You know that many of the issues that we follow in the Bible and we look to the Bible for guidance, many of those are continually going to be discussed and rediscussed, and the popular view will move from one decade to another, or even from a few months to another, as crises happen and things happen.
We have 10 seconds to wrap up. WidowConnection.com, Miriam Neff, N-E-F-F. Where do I go from here? And from one widow to another. Thank you so much, Miriam, for sharing. God bless you.
My pleasure.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.